Well, Father, we thank you, Lord. Let's just pray. Lord, we just thank you that your presence is here to heal tonight. I thank you, Father, for signs, wonders, miracles flowing in your name. Lord, not because we're just speaking about them free. So we thank you, Lord. You know every person here, and you know the struggles, the issues. You know everything about them. So we ask you, Lord, to just guide us through this, to accentuate things that need to be talked about. And Lord, we thank you, Father, that people will be delivered and set free, that there will just be healings all over this church. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you for coming out. I know you had the choice of watching the Republican debate or coming out here. So I thank you for choosing this. This is hopefully this will be the far better thing than that. So I want to start out with a couple of scriptures, and one of them is in Psalm 91:16, and it's a promise, and it says, "With long life I will satisfy you and show you my salvation." That has really become a hallmark scripture with me in terms of really focusing on that, that's a promise from God to all of us. Another one out of Psalm 103:5 is that he fills my mouth with good things so that my youth is renewed like the eagles. If you're young and energetic and you don't have any problems, you'll need this scripture later on, okay? Because that's what fuels me every day. I say that over myself every day. And every day when I'm hurting or something else, I just say, no, my youth is renewed like the eagles. You push on beyond that. And so God has got, in the Word of God, there are scriptures to help us move through our life victoriously. Now, my testimony starts back in 2009, and every year I always review at least one expense item in my budget, and I go out and I actually look and see, can I get it cheaper? And so in 2009, I decided to look at life insurance, of all things, and I thought, well, surely I can get that cheaper. So I went online, I applied for it, and they said, well, yeah, we'll accept your application, but we have to send a nurse out to check you out and make sure you guys are okay. And so I said, fine, what damage could that do? And so they came out. I was feeling good. She was feeling good. So they came out and did the test. And, Vicky, passed the test with flying colors. And then I failed the test. And so they did the test three times, and I failed the test. And where I failed the test was when they did an EKG on me, and it was just failing every time. And so here I was. I thought, wow, that's weird, And so, there is a nurse, and my wife's a nurse, and so they were chattering with each other. And that's never a good thing when nurses start chattering with each other. So all of a sudden, I had a doctor's appointment with a heart doctor to go see them, and that was not exactly what I wanted to do. But when I went in there, he did all the full-scale tests and everything, and so we went back a few weeks later once all the tests came there. And what they diagnosed it was that my heart was slow. And so it was running at about 30% capacity. And normally, your heart's somewhere between 50 and 70%. So my heart was about half of what it really needed to be. And they asked me if I was tired. And I said, no, not really. I'm fine. I run 2 miles a day and do all these things. And so doctor decided at that time that he wasn't going to do any kind of surgery. So he said, why don't we just give you some pills and try to speed up your heart, and sometimes it just speeds up by the pills. And I said, that's fine with me. I'm all for pills. And so I took the pills, I went home, and it really bothered me. I thought, okay, I need to actually get healing scriptures in me, because when I thought about it, I thought, I don't really know that many. I mean, I kind of know them, but I just said, okay, I need to really do a crash course here and really get this stuff in me. So I really started looking at it and getting into it at that point in time. And one of the ones that really went on was actually Psalm 73:26, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. And that one just really stood out to me. And so I've been really focusing on that ever since, just speaking that over myself, that my heart is getting stronger. That we went on with that. And started confessing those scriptures and talking through. And then in December of that same year, Vicky, when she was praying, the Lord kept bringing up scriptures to her when she was praying. She didn't really understand what it was about. One of them was out of Hebrews 11:35 that said, women receive their loved ones back from the dead. And so, yeah, I remember her talking to me about that. And, you know, I thought, well, maybe you're going to raise somebody from the dead. I don't know, you know, just be on the lookout. You know, so we were just like, you know, went right over our heads. And the other one was Romans 4:17, in the presence of him whom he believed, God who gives life to the dead and calls those things that do not exist as though they did. And so these were the scriptures that she kept getting throughout the month. And, you know, like I said, we talked about them. Now, what is that? Well, the Holy Spirit is on the inside of us. And Jesus talked about this in John 16:13. He said, he will speak only what he hears and he will tell you things to come. So he will give you indications of things that are coming at you or give you warning signs that things are coming. And so, you know, our job is to be sensitive enough to hear this and go, well, maybe that's for us. And it just, you know, it never did occur to us that that was for me. So we thought, well, we must be on the lookout for somebody that's going to fall over dead somewhere, you know. So we did that, and so that's why he does that. So we missed several vital clues on that. And we're fast forwarding now from December of 09 to January of 2010. It was a Friday night on January 29th, and Vicki's birthday is on January 31st, and she celebrates it all month. And normally we're out doing something, you know, it's birthday month. And so normally, you know, that's what we do. And so there was a ladies' meeting that night, and I was trying to talk her into going to the ladies' meeting because I was tired and I wanted to take a break. And so wasn't I would try to get her out just for that, but I was just wanting to sleep. And so she would not leave. You know, I tried four times to get her to leave and go. I give her all good reasons why she should go to this meeting. And she just did not feel like going to that meeting. And so, you know, if she would have, then I wouldn't be here even talking to you tonight. But she didn't really understand why. She just wanted to hang around the house that night and watch. Well, we were actually watching the governor's debate, so we like full contact politics. So we were watching that. And so I got up and I went to the restroom and then came back, and I was walking behind where Vicki was sitting, and all of a sudden she heard a boom. And so she turned around and hollered my name and looked, and and there I was. I had completely stopped breathing, was on the floor dead, turned blue. She knew exactly what that was because she was a nurse and she understood this. I had just gone. And so there was really no warning on it. It just all of a sudden just happened right then and there. Now, when she kicked into this, I mean, she basically recognized it immediately. She called 911 to have them send people out, and then she just started doing CPR on me to try to get some kind of sign going. Once the paramedics got there, they came in and they took over, and they sent her on to the hospital and got her out of there so they could start working on me. And so they actually shocked me 8 times that night. And if you've ever been shocked by that stuff, that's pretty nasty stuff. I'm glad I couldn't feel it, you know. But and they continued to do CPR. I was dead about 45 minutes total before they could finally get life in there and get a sign going. And so Vicki started calling me back from the dead, calling my spirit back from the dead, and you know, she knew that we were not done with doing what we were supposed to do, and so this was not right. And so she began doing that, and she called Pastor Mark and other people and told them, you know, call him back from the dead, don't let him go, you know. So one of the funny things was she told me later on that when she began to think, you know, your mind goes crazy, you know, when you're really under a lot of pressure and you think of all kinds of things. Well, she thought about what would it be like if I had to do the bills myself and do the finances myself? And she thought, and then she got real intense about calling me back from the dead. Yeah, so you know, she really got into it. But that's something that, you know, when your mind wants to go crazy and think about things. But, you know, that scripture came up to her when she was doing CPR and that back from the dead, that's what she, their loved ones back from the dead. And when she was calling me back from the dead, that's what came up. And God was confirming in her heart, you're on the right direction. You know, this is a done deal if you just keep going here. And so, you know, God, the Holy Spirit job is to bring things up to you, to let you know what it is that you're doing is the right thing. Well, where's that at? That's John 14:26. It says, but the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. So every scripture that's ever been, that you've ever heard, you know, even when you walk along, a scripture will just come up. Well, the Lord is giving you any guidance on something. And so he was guiding her, giving her those scriptures at the same time. So she knew, okay, this thing is going to happen. So she began to pray, and as your mind wants to just scream, and you don't know, you know, you don't want something just coming out of your mouth that's not good, because that defeats the purpose. And so she began to pray in tongues. And Romans 8:26 says, likewise, the Spirit helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. Now, he who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And so when you're praying in the Spirit, you're praying the will of God. You're praying his perfect will. And so, like I said, she was thinking about budgeting. She was thinking about doing finances and things like that. And so, you know, you kick over and just start praying in the Spirit and just calling me back from the dead. So the paramedics did their thing. They were in my house at least 45 minutes. And so when they finally, on the eighth time that they hit me with the shock thing, finally it basically stabilized enough to where they could move me. And so they took me out into the vehicle, and they were so afraid. This hospital they wanted to take me to was only 5 minutes away. But it took them almost an hour and a half to get there, because they were going really, really slow, because they were so afraid that if they hit a bump on something, it would just upheave everything and they would lose me. And so they went real slow. When I got to the hospital, and again, I was completely gone, they took me there. They had just acquired, for lack of a better term, I know there's probably a technical term for this, but it was a bed of ice. And what they would do is they would take cardiac patients and they would put them on there and lower their body temperature. And so that's where I went, and I got to inaugurate the bed of ice. They had just gotten it set up, and so here I came. And so they put me on there, and so doctors, you know, I love doctors, but they're real blunt, you know. And so you want to hear them, but at the same time, then you got to turn around and pray in faith about the direction that you want to go in here, because they're going to be very factual about things. And so at that time, the verdict was, didn't know if I would ever wake up. And if I did, there could be so much damage due to lack of oxygen and there could be have several organs damaged, especially the brain could be damaged. And so they weren't real sure what they would get. And after 2 minutes of no oxygen, damage just starts, and your whole system, your body starts shutting down, is what's happening. So every system starts going through shutdown mode, just like if you're shutting down a computer system or you're shutting down a machine or some kind of process, your body starts going through that kind of a process of shutdown. And so since I had been gone for 45 minutes, my body had really been going through a lot of shutdown for that period of time. And so she heard all that. The other verdict was that if I did wake up, I may be a vegetable. The survival rate statistics is somewhere between 6% and 10%, at least for 5 years, and then after that it starts going down from there. So that was what they were telling her at the time. And so, you know, you thank you very much, that kind of thing. But then you just begin praying in the Spirit, and she would just begin taught and praying that way. And she used what they were saying to really aim her prayers and tell people, here's what you need to pray, that when he wakes up, he's not going to be a vegetable, that his brain is going to be whole, that his body is going to be whole. And so that I would wake up is another fact. So she would kick in like that and do those things. Now, that's tough for her because she's got a medical mind, and medical minds tend to want to go that way and think about all the worst case stuff. Because she's seen people die before, so she knows how this works. So yes, one of the things, if you've been trained in that, it's you have to really overcome that and begin to really push in on that. Basically, the next day, that was all on a Friday. They really weren't expecting me to wake up for a while, if I did wake up at all. And they even talked about, you know, if they had to just cut me loose and just let me just float off, that would be, you know, so they talked through that together in terms of that. But lo and behold, on Saturday morning, on that bed of ice, I woke up. Or at least I started to wake up, and they got shocked that I started to wake up. And see, prayers were working. And so what they had to do was knock me back out again, you know, because they had my body temperature down pretty low, and I'm sure I would have gone nuts if I was seeing all that, you know. So that was, they had to knock me back out. They went through all the, we're not sure what we've got here. You know, if he wakes up again, then he may be just totally brain damaged, and you may not know him. Now, Vicky, we have an iPod that she put earplugs in my ear, and so it was playing preaching tapes and healing tapes. And so I remember that next morning, it was actually her birthday morning, I woke up, or started to wake up, and I heard preaching going on, and I thought, I must have fallen asleep in church or something like that. I'm like, man, yeah. I just thought, I was like, where am I? You know, because I had no idea. But I did finally wake up, and I saw all these people around me, you know, and I had no idea why they were there, you know, or what had happened or what had transpired. No memory of anything happening. All I remember is getting a drink that night, and that was about it. They had a breathing tube down my throat, and if you ever have that, my God bless you. That's a terrible thing because it's basically conveying and you're breathing, but you want to try to breathe on your own, and so you keep fighting against that thing. And so that was down my throat, and I couldn't talk, and they had my hands tied, and you know, it's what a great way to wake up, you know, so like that, and tubes running everywhere, and so I looked around, and I thought, this is strange. So she told me right away, because she knows me, she says, don't break those bands because they'll knock you out again if they break those bands. And so I said, okay. And she explained to me what had just happened. And I was like, wow, I was really shocked. I had no idea any of that had even transpired on that one. So I had a decision to make, you know, and this is where we really get into that, because I had a decision to make in terms of what kind of life did I want to lead after that. Did I want to just go on and just kind of, you know, be disabled or something like that and just kind of meander along in life and just kind of deal with it? Or did I want to go for living a whole life and being fully restored and healed? So that's what I was thinking. I was thinking through that. I'm going, okay, you know, here's the choice I've got. Now, what is it? And a lot of times, we have to choose what it is that we want to do. You know, you have to really make a decision about what kind of life you want to lead and then really stick with it. I mean, if you start negotiating and just saying, well, if I'm only going to do this till I actually start getting up and getting around a little bit, well, that's about all that will ever happen. But I believe that God wants us to live a very healthy, filled life, you know, a very full life, very joyous life. And so the challenge is always when something's happened like that is now what? And so, but I just felt like that decision was in my court. And so I sat there and thought about that, you know, in terms of that. Do I just check out now? Or do I go on now and go for full? I finally just came down on the standpoint that I don't want to go out this way. And that's what I said to the Lord, even though I had still had that tube down my throat. And so when I said that, I heard a voice that was so loud that it shook me. But it was a voice of the Lord. And he said, well, people don't lay here. And that's what he just hollered at me was when he did that. When he did that, there was just an energy shot that hit me like that. And I knew I could have ripped those bands off just so quick. Now, before that, my oxygen level was down low and they couldn't take the tube out. After that, my oxygen level came up and all of a sudden now those tubes were coming out, thank God. You know, so now I could actually talk. But you see, when you're ill and you're sitting there and you're thinking about this, it's real important that you just hunker down and you say, no, the Lord wants me to be prosperous and be in health, even as my soul prospers. He wants me to do that. And then I have to really decide for that and really go for that and not deviate from that, no matter what anybody says. And so that's where I really came down at, was just beginning to move forward in Him. And see, you make those kind of decisions, He'll help you. That's what He'll help you do that, and He'll help you get there on there. Now, after about 4 days, I was moved out of intensive care and moved into step down. The only way the doctor would let me out of the hospital was install a pacemaker in me, which I didn't really like, but it's still there. So every year I talk to him about taking it out, but I've never used it. It's never had to ever kick in yet and never will. So my heart continues to increase and grow in strength. And I keep believing God. And really this year, I'm believing Him that by the end of this year, I will not be able to do things that I am. That's the goal. And so I'm believing God for that. Why? Because if you believe it in your heart, you can have this. You know, you say it with your mouth, you can have it. So He wants us to do that. And so that's where I'm pressing at, is getting to that point to where the doctors say, what are you doing here? Why are you here? Don't come back here. That'll be a great day. You'll hear me shout a long way after that. But that's coming very soon. Now, you have to be determined and consistent in what you want. I have, you know, spoken to people that essentially come at you and they go, they'll want healing from one thing, but then they'll live with the other thing. Why live with the other thing when God offers to heal you totally? Amen. Jesus never had a list of things that he just said, well, that's too many things. Now, he made them whole. And so he doesn't have it's only one tonight or something like that. If you have 10 things you need healing from, well, get delivered from all 10 of them and live a full, joyous life. You know, heaven, He's got new parts. He's got new stuff. He's got new capabilities. I mean, he can cause things to happen for you. So always be determined and very consistent about that's what I'm going for. That's what it is. Mark 11:24 says, therefore I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. And so I go over that every day in terms of really pressing in and going, this is what I want. I always thought it was strange that when the blind guy came up and asked Jesus for something, that Jesus asked him, what is it that you want? Well, the guy was obviously blind, but you know, he had to say, I want to receive my sight. So be specific and say, Lord, I want to be delivered from all this. I don't want to just settle for this. I don't want to just settle for anything on that one. Also, I've come to really know that Jesus finished the work on the cross, that healing is already done. We're not trying to get healed. He has already provided healing. And we are to receive that healing. See, it says in 1 Peter 2:24, who himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Were would be past tense. We've already been healed. He's already provided healing for all of us. Well, what is it? And I have to get it to that point where I really, really feel, believe that I have received it and really take it in and begin to move in it and begin to energize and exercise with it. And so it's really, really important that we're constantly moving into that and being determined, but also knowing that it's not something that you have to do. It's something that you receive. He wants to see you well. He doesn't want to see you going out sick. He wants to see you going out whole, well, just giving praise and glory to Him. And so that's how He's looking at things. I pray a prayer over me every day and also speak scriptures over my body. I speak to my mind every day. Let me give you an example. I just say, mind, you have the mind of Christ, and you remember things you're supposed to remember, and you forget the things you're supposed to forget. You coordinate and organize all my body parts and cause all the signals to go to the right places, and it functions perfectly, and I have a clear, focused mind. And I just talk to it like that, and I command it to be that way. And I command my heart to function to be 70% heart function. And I command my arteries to be clear in Jesus' name. And I speak to each body part, and I command them to be right and to work right. See, is it doing any good? Speak to myself that I'm younger, I'm more energetic, I'm full of energy, I love life. You know, you just begin to talk to your body, because why, whatsoever you say, you can have. And so, you know, you begin to just speak to yourself. Don't just say, I look so old and this and that and this and that, and I'm hurting here and I'm doing that. No, just speak life into your body. Speak, cause it to come alive. One of the things I do is I declare my body weight to be 180 pounds, and I command any excess body fat to come off. And so I'm about right there. And so I've lost weight, and I'm coming right down to that point. I command my metabolism to function right and kick in and do the right things. That doesn't mean I don't exercise. Exercise every day as well. But, you know, you speak to your body to do things, and when your body will do what it hears. If your body hears, well, just be big and fat and I'm this and that, well, that's what it's going to do. And so always speak to your body, command it to function right. Command it to do what it is that you're telling it to do. I go over the scriptures every day and I say them out loud. I have several scriptures that I use. Why? Because this brings health to my body and nourishment to my bones. Do I understand it? No. I wish I understood it. But I know that when I speak the word over me, it causes things to change. One, it causes me to change how I'm looking at things, but it also causes things to change on the inside of me. And so, you know, it's very, very powerful when you do that. And so you speak that over yourself. Take the time. You can do it while you're driving, while you're, you know, trying to keep from hitting somebody, you know, but say it out loud, because that's what it does. It brings health and nourishment to your bones. I have a iPod at home that we play preaching and healing scriptures all night. We listen to Pastor Mark sometimes. Why do we wake up in the middle of the night and he's preaching to me? And so, hey, we're good. So, but well, why do we do that? Well, because Proverbs 4:22 says, "For they are life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh." And so you're actually getting healthier by listening to the Word of God and having it come into yourself on there. Also, meditate out and speak out long life scriptures. There's several long life scriptures. And so some night we'll just teach on that, but, you know, not tonight. But, you know, a couple instances where one, King Hezekiah, got 15 more years added to his life because he asked for it. And the Apostle Paul made a decision he wanted to stay and make impact on the nations. You'll find that in Philippians chapter 1. Verse 24 through 26. So it is possible. There's not necessarily an appointed time for you to go if you're not finished. And so that's one of the things that we always want to like push and say, all right, we need more time to get this done because we have got things we still need to do on there. also speak, like I said, supernatural energy into my body and really just speak that every day and sometimes multiple times a day, because some days you just don't feel particularly great. But you know, you really hit it and just command your body and the energy levels to come up a lot. And so it helps. See, His Word is alive. His Word is life, and it flows. And so the more you do that, the more you'll see changes come into your body. You'll feel dumb doing it at first, but after a while, just you start seeing results, and you see things change. Why? Because His Word, the entrance of His Word just brings life. And so it'll cause life to manifest in you and cause change to come into you. And so when you look at yourself, then you'll notice things are changing. Things are happening. He wants us to be very, very healthy. Amen? Amen. So every day I do these kind of regimens and just pretty much go through them, because that's what the Lord gave me to do. And so I'm doing them, really pushing into areas, feeling better than I ever have before. Doing exercises now more than I've done before. And actually, you know, as a testimony to being completely healed, my daughter, a pregnant daughter, had to move this past weekend. And so she lived on the third floor of an apartment complex. And guess who helped her move stuff down three flights of stairs? Well, there were some other people there, but we did that all night Friday night and all into Saturday. And so, you know, I don't know. I learned that three trips up and down the steps, and I need a break, but still kept doing it. So, you know, you test yourself sometimes to just see, okay, healing's kicking in. God is good. You know, we got able to do this and live through it. We go on to the next adventure. So between that and the grand boys coming over and wrestling in the floor where we have no bars, old cage matches, God is good, you know. So you know, but I'm getting younger. I'm looking forward to a bright future and just bright things happening, not only for us, but for this church and for this community, because God wants to just set us free from any kind of afflictions that we have. Father, we thank You, Lord. Thank You for Your health, for Your Word, for delivering us, for setting us free, for raising us from the dead, Lord. You came to set us free even from death. And we thank You, Father, that there's no illness, there's no affliction, there's no anything that is impossible. Give You glory and praise. I'd like the prayer partners, for those who want to come up, to come on up. And we want to just pray for people, you know. We don't want to just talk about healing and then not see demonstration of it. Because God desires to demonstrate His healing power. He doesn't have a problem showing off. And so if you have afflictions of any kind, then we're going to pause for a minute and have people come forward, and we'll pray for you. Thank You, Lord.